After the excitement of the bromance between Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un yesterday, markets have now decided to focus their attention on the US Fed Reserve, which is going to be making its decision on monetary policy in just a couple of hours' time. The expectation is that they will indeed raise rates for a second time this year. But of course, people will be looking very deeply at their statement to see whether they're going to indicate that they're going to raise interest rates four times this year rather than three, as they had previously said. But for now, we see global markets generally up, and the all-share index also closed up in positive territory, being driven by financials. But for more, we can get some analysis from David Shapiro, the Deputy Chairman of Sasfin Wealth. David, thank you for joining us.
Pleasure.
Good stuff.
So if it's a rate hike today, that's the second one this year, and that means another two. I think that's what the market's moving has already priced in or baked into the market. So it's going to dominate the news. Yesterday, you know, Trump's bromance, that's so yesterday. Markets
forgot
all about it. It's incredibly incredible how fast markets move and how they go on. I still think driving markets up are strong economics, strong global economies, particularly in the U.S. And I think if they do raise rates another, that really just underpins the strength of the U.S. economy. And the markets are saying we can handle it. You know, another two is not really going to throw the U.S. economy off course. So I think that's what markets are saying at the moment. Mm. We're in another realm. I mean, with us, it's very, very, each day brings different surprises. You mentioned the retail sales. I think that did knock retailers, even though correctly so, that increase in April did upset distort the numbers because a lot of buying took place ahead of that in March. But still, I think we can't ignore that the economy isn't growing all that well, and it's going to somehow, be felt by retailers. And yet, banks, which normally move in line with retailers, actually held up pretty well. Not great gains, but still they did find support, and they picked up today. So broadly, that was where the markets are. But there are a couple of little side stories which we can discuss.
Okay, we'll get onto those in a second. I still want to stay with the retail. Mm. So the market expectation was that retail sales would rise by 4.5%. It's almost as if the analysts had forgotten about the VAT increase.
That just shows you how bad forecasters are, and we always ask the question, why does one have forecasts? We feel uncomfortable, we just feel lost if no one gives us some kind of number to hang on to. But that's a big miss. So I'm not sure why they would have got it so wrong, particularly knowing that VAT was going to come in. And unless they underestimated the weakness of the consumer or the mindset of the consumer. Mm. But it does seem, I suppose we have to give it another month to see if it if it picks up then, and maybe 1 month is just too soon to call a complete collapse of consumption.
So what happened with the top 40 heavyweight NASPERS today?
Interesting. First of all, I'm an accountant, but I can't read accounts anymore. They are so difficult to read. And if you went through NASPERS's trading statement, I say there was almost a buffet of choices to be made. Which earnings number do you want? And each one was a different one depending on what you selected. Also, their comparatives, a lot had to do with the restatement of some of the comparatives. But whichever way we look at it, they did make money out of the sale of some of their stake, of that small stake in Tencent, I think, which kicked up earnings and that. And overall, it's not a bad number. And you've got to understand a lot of it is driven by Tencent. So at one point when the numbers first came out, the market spiked 5%. And then everybody realized it was a mistake. These were adjusted numbers, and down it came. So it created this spike in the market. If you look at a chart of performance, when NASPERS moves 5%, being 20% of the market, it can do a lot of damage. So I'm not sure who bought at those levels, but someone who sold, of course, made money. But that was the story. But Nompa as well, if you look at Peregrine's numbers also, every day there's a new way of stating. These were segmental headline earnings, and all. So everybody's got their own way of actually disclosing earnings and that. And for someone reading it, it's completely confusing. So I'm saying, don't. If you're an outsider and you don't quite understand it, you're not alone. Even professionals don't understand these numbers.
Makes us feel a lot better. What's going on with Bitcoin? I see that it's lost about nearly 60% of its value this year. I mean, I personally, from the little that I know, I just feel it's something that I would never touch. I feel like it's just a gambling man's.
Or stay like that.
Yeah. You know, it's like if you went into it in December, you've lost a whole load of money.
I think I'm not going to criticize Bitcoin, and I'm not going to criticize the future of Bitcoin, you know, or the future of blockchain, because somewhere down the line, I think something will develop. But what's happening now is that the safety of dealing it is being exposed. And, you know, this was a hack into a system in South Korea and causing a lot of damage. So I think that's what worries us more than anything else is the safety of actually buying these. You're not sure where you're buying. You're not sure where they're being held and whether or not they can be tampered with or sold, as we've seen. And I think that's creating all the worries that the safety factor of this currency at the moment. So this is more to do with cyber attacks than maybe what the future might be.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
I'm trying to satisfy both sides, you know, because
no, I think it's a fair answer.
It's like when you attack gold, boy. There are people who believe in gold and they come at you from all sides, you know. And I think Bitcoin has got also those very zealous followers. So I'm saying, yeah, somewhere down the future, but not for me at the moment.
So out earlier today, Sea Harvest, which is a black-owned company, is leading a black consortium to buy a fishing company called Viking. I don't have much further detail, but just tell us your impressions of what you've read about it and what impact it had on the share price.
Well, I don't know much about fishing. You know, being an inland person, we don't get to see a lot of water or lakes where we are. But it you know, it looks like a very good company, and I think that's why the market was up 5 or 6% for Sea Harvest. Sea Harvest is not a small business; it's about a $3.5 billion market cap, owned largely by Brimstone and that. And this seems to be a purchase which everybody believes is going to add value to Sea Harvest. 300 vessels this Viking own, and you know, around the country, on all the coastal outlets, etc. So and also quite a large selection of fish that they fish.
And they're a vertical player, so they fish and then
they
hack and do everything else.
Exactly. And I think that fits in with Sea Harvest as well. So seems to be a good purchase. We need to know more about it. I think it's a private company owned by family, but it is going into good hands. So Sea Harvest is a good, you know, good business. Brimstone generally are very, very, normally have made some very good choices of, you know, of companies. So yeah, the market seemed to respond very well, but we'll learn more about it, you know, when the numbers come out.
Indeed, we will. And then just going back, lastly, to the whole Fed Reserve thing and the situation that we have with a relatively weaker rand, oil prices really still remaining quite elevated. I mean, can we expect that the Reserve Bank is not in a position ever this year to give us an interest rate cut, and it's going to be all the way up?
That you can write off. Yeah. No more cuts. And I think even after the retail numbers, if those were real, yes, maybe they should be going down that path, but they can't take that risk. And they can't take the risk with India and Turkey and other countries, other emerging countries raising rates and that. I think it puts us on the back foot. And also this oil price is holding. It's not going down. There's talk now of cutting production. Oh, sorry, increasing production. But we haven't seen in the price of Brent, on which we base our oil price, is still still elevated. It's still in the 70s, and so I think. And the rand at one point today was like 13.40. I think it's picked up a bit now to 13.24. So I think when we factor all that in, it's going to be very inflationary. And you know, as oil price goes up, so it feeds through the system. So I think the Reserve Bank in a very difficult position. Economy laboring, economy battling, because there's no demand, and now you're faced with with these kind of inflationary pressures. So I think if anything, the next move in rates is going to be up.
On that note, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much, Mr. Shapiro. That was David Shapiro, Deputy Chairman of Sasfin Wealth.